Today, we are launching our very first episode that we are calling our Starter Series. It's dedicated to all of you who are either about to graduate or have recently graduated, as well as those of you who are still early on in your careers and are looking to make the jump into medical devices.
Please join us today in welcoming a recent grad who has defied the odds and has successfully made that leap from undergraduate studies to the fascinating world of medical devices. In this, our inaugural episode of our starter series, Emma Grace Vaquera will take us on her journey, sharing invaluable insights on how she managed to secure such a coveted role and the unique challenges and opportunities that awaited her as a recent grad. We will help you understand what it takes to break into this competitive medical device industry right out of school. Welcome to Secrets in Medical Device Sales. I am Annalisa Rhodes.
And I am Cynthia Vaquera. Together, we are the girls of grit, yet ready to make your ultimate dreams of success a reality with our wealth of knowledge gained from a combined 40 years experience.
We will share key secrets that will give you a competitive edge and pave the way for success in this coveted industry. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning to all of our listeners out there.
Good morning, Lisa, and good morning to our listeners. I'm especially excited about today. We get asked so often, how do you get into medical device? I have a daughter who wants to get in. I have messages and questions of how do you get into medical device? So we thought that today would be really exciting to have a special guest who happens to be very close to home, my daughter, who graduated at 21, semester early, and got into medical device. So there's no better way to have anybody tell the story than my daughter herself. So we are very excited to interview our special guest today, Emma Grace Vaquera. We would love to hear your insight firsthand, your experience, and any tips you have on how you broke into the medical device industry. Welcome.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me today. I'm so excited to be able to give in this platform to share my experience. So I am Cindy's daughter. A little bit of background about me. I graduated from Davidson College down in pretty much like 20 minutes north of Charlotte in North Carolina. I was a biology major who was on the pre-med track. I was also a Division I athlete for around 2.5 years before I medically retired after my sophomore year. And now I work in orthopedic medical device sales.
That is awesome. I'm so impressed, Emma. First of all, kudos to you, Cindy, for raising such a smart and bright daughter. Actually, you have two of them, but we're really excited to have you here today, Emma, because like Cindy mentioned, we get asked often by a lot of friends, actually. And it's like, well, if you don't know somebody who knows somebody, you're never going to get in. You're never going to break in. And Cindy and I happen to work in the medical field, obviously, but it's not even like she helped you with this, right? I mean, you kind of just did this all on your own, which is really freaking awesome. So we really want to hear, what did this look like? What did you do, Emma? Did you start when you were a junior in college and you started looking at this? When did you know that you wanted to do this? That's kind of like where I'd like to begin with this.
Yes. So I always knew that I was going to have around like 6 or 7 months, possibly more, to work once I graduated, because I do want to attend medical school one day. I knew that that was my like ultimate goal. But since I was graduating early, I was a CNA before. So I was a certified nursing assistant for about 3-ish years. And I just knew that I didn't want to do that forever. And I wanted to be able to make money in a different way and even expand my clinical experience that I already had. So it was pretty much my senior fall. So literally like 8-9 months ago, I was in class and my lab partner told me that you should probably apply to different jobs that maybe are not like, because I was looking at just other nursing jobs and she was like, just do medical device. And I was like, wait, I definitely should do that. Especially with my mom being in medical device, I didn't want to tell her. I wanted it to be more of a surprise because I already knew from just previous exposure, again, how hard it is as 21 years old. No one's going to hire me. I'm like, you know what? Let me shoot my shot. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And she just mentioned to me in class and I was in my lab. We had a little bit of free time. So I started researching jobs. I really looked on LinkedIn. I think I applied to over 30 jobs, random ones, whatever was in the Charlotte area, Raleigh area. I'm now currently back in Richmond, but I was not looking in Virginia. I was just trying to find something around my college town. And again, I think I probably filled out about 30 applications. And I was like, I'll wait. Maybe they'll get back to me. Maybe they won't. Ended up not hearing anything back. I think I heard back from one company that I applied there on. And it was like, oh, we're not looking for anyone now, but we'll get back to you. So I was in the same class with my same lab partner like 2 weeks later. And she told me, what about Davidson Connect? So my college has something really cool. It's kind of like LinkedIn, but only for alumni and students of that particular college. I think other places do it. I'm not sure, but Davidson just in particular is Davidson Connect. So she was like, look up and see if anyone had a medical device job that graduated. I was like, that's a great idea. So I looked it up. There was like 5 or 6 people that popped up, and there's like a little icon on their profile that says willing to help. So there's this one girl that popped up and she was willing to help. And she works for the company that I currently work for. And she was in the same sorority that I was in. She only graduated about 4 years prior to me getting there. So she was still fairly new, fairly young. I think she's like 26 or 27. So I ended up reaching out to her on that app, and she was very nice, answered me very promptly. And she said, I would love to hop on a call. What are you interested in? So I ended up calling her around like a week later. And this company in particular actually has an internship program. So I was originally applying to be an intern. And apparently, because it's an orthopedic company, one of the things you can do as an intern is you can run trays. So for those who don't know, I know you guys are in aortic device. A lot of your stuff is like sterile packaged. Orthopedics is not. So majority of it are in these giant metal trays. And I primarily sell stuff with hand and wrist fractures, as well as elbows and some clavicles. So we have 2 products that are sterile packaged, but majority aren't. I'm taking these giant trays and I'm running them to different hospitals and surgery centers and giving them to Central Sterile, making sure that everything's in the tray, nothing's left out, nothing's missing. That has happened a few times, but we always figure it out. So I thought that was going to be my job, and it was great. She was so encouraging and so kind. And she goes, this is the best way to break in the industry. She said they actually had a student last summer who was at Davidson who graduated 2 years earlier than me. And he did this internship. He did it for like 2 summers. And then he, I think, ended up applying to medical school, or he ended up taking a job. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But in medical device, one of the two. But I know that I think when he was interviewing for medical schools, they were so shocked that someone so young was able to have this program. So that's what I originally applied for. And she was like, let me talk to my boss. Let me see if there's availability, because it is paid. I was like, thank God, I need to make money. And I didn't want to be a CNA. So I was like, I need something that pays. So if this pays, I'll do it. And it was like 3 days a week. It was perfect. You get to meet doctors. It's the perfect entry level for somebody who does not have any sales experience. So
I think I want to just emphasize what you just said, because I think that's really important, because an internship for anybody in college in between the summers or in between semesters, it's a really, really great opportunity. And just to point out what you said about going through your school, where you had a place to find online help, is just really, really important. So I just really wanted to emphasize what you just said, because I think that those listening, just to really remember that an internship may be a really good way to get you there.
So And I think other companies, I think some have them, as I found out, but it's definitely, again, like the whole Davidson Connect thing. I think other colleges have that same thing. I'm just not sure. But yeah, so then she ended up not calling me back for a while. So I was like, oh, I guess I'm not going to get it. And I get a call about a week before Christmas that there was someone in like the Raleigh territory that they actually needed a rep. And I was like, well, she goes, I think you'd be great for it. I was like, I guess. Okay. And it ended up turning out that they actually had 3 unfilled positions that they really needed someone like very quickly. And one ended up being in my hometown of Richmond. And he immediately needed a sales rep within like the next 2 weeks, because he had one who just put in his 2 weeks. And he was like, I have so many cases, I need help. So I ended up getting on a call with him, my current manager, and the girl that I was originally talking to, she helped set all of that up. It was so amazing. She got my resume from me. The president of the company ended up sending my resume out to like all of the managers, which is why they were like, oh, there was these 3 positions that you would be great for. And Richmond just ended up making the most sense, just because I could come back home for a little bit. So I ended up taking the job, and I literally started 2 weeks after, 3 weeks after Christmas. And yeah, I've been in it ever since. And I definitely am the youngest one by far. I'm lucky I look a little bit older, but that's definitely been a fun stepping stone. And something that I've had to deal with, but yeah.
That's awesome. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, me, I'm thinking back, that might've been a little intimidating to jump literally from college student, college kid, going out, having a good time. And I'm not saying you did that. I'm just saying, you know, that's the mentality to working world, and not just anything. You're a sales rep and you're calling on doctors. I mean, that takes a lot of confidence, Emma, to just jump right in there and do it. How did you know that you were going to be successful at it? And give us maybe kind of your first impressions on that. I mean, what does that look like for a brand new kid straight out of college to dive right into medical devices? That's, again, I'm assuming it was intimidating. So walk us through that.
Yes. So it definitely was intimidating at first. However, because I was in like the orthopedic medical device world, I had sports injuries before. I had been around, and since I was a CNA for so long, I've been in a hospital for over 3 years. So I knew how like doctor dynamics work, how you interact with patients. Like as a rep, you don't. So you are not in the room when they are getting prepped for surgery. You are not talking to any of them. I know how to talk to nurses because I've worked with so many before. So I definitely think it was intimidating to an extent, but because I had so much prior clinical experience, it wasn't as bad as it might be for someone who has never stepped foot in a hospital before, or maybe has only shadowed a doctor for a couple of hours here and there. So that definitely was like a pro for me, but it still was very scary, especially being female women in this space, orthopedics in particular. There are like no women. So I was one of two female reps in my entire 2.5 hour like territory around me. There's one for a competing company that I would see her a little bit, but that was it. So the only like female interaction I would have is with all the nurses. There was like two or three surgeons, and everyone else was just, it's a really male dominated field. So I think that, to be honest, was the most intimidating factor. It wasn't that I was young or that I just came out of college or I don't know what I'm doing. It was more that I'm like, oh wow, I am definitely a minority here. And I definitely need to figure out how I best use it to my advantage. But also, I want everyone else around me to know that I'm like just equal to be here. I'm just as competent to be here as they all are. So yeah, I think intimidation factor was really more about my gender more than maybe experience wise. But I definitely think my first week, I was so nervous. I was so terrified, like in the OR. Also, you have mask on surgeons. They are busy. They are running around. I'm sure like all my ORs are 3 hours behind. They got places to be. They don't have time to sit and chat. And when my boss was introducing me to people, I'm like, hi, like so nice to meet you. And I ended up, I have some wonderful surgeons. I have a few that are, oh, okay, hopefully they don't know how old I am. But the majority of them have been so welcoming and so kind, but it definitely rides on the fact that I can have a conversation with adults. I can look somebody in the eye when I'm talking to them. I can enunciate my words well. I'm not using slang. I actually have a funny story about that, but to that later. I'm talking to them like I am 35 and that I'm not 21. So I think confidence in that is kind of like fake it till you make it. Again, no one knew how young I was. So not showing my age, I think, was a huge advantage. And again, like in college, since I was an athlete before, and then I tore my ACL, which is why I ended up quitting. But I've worked since I was 14, but I worked in school for the past like 2.5 years. And I had around, well, towards the end, I had 3 jobs. So I worked as a CNA, I was a coach, and I also worked at Lululemon, my favorite job I've ever had. So that was the only sales experience I ever had before going into this job. But I think, again, maybe I am a little bit different than majority of college students, but I was already just in the working world. I knew that this is what I wanted to do, and I knew this is how I was going to make money. So the only way to do that is to act confident and be sure of myself and know my worth and know like the product that I'm promoting, as well as I'm also promoting myself and my company. So just always being on your A game. I don't know if that answered the question, but
no, that was perfect. You know what I love about your generation? You guys are like, you have so much confidence. I think that I don't remember being that confident, Cindy, when I was Emma's age. I really don't. I mean, I started early too, but I don't know. Maybe I was. I can't remember now. But one of the things that you said that I think was really, well, a couple things. So first of all, I was going to ask you, who did you turn to when you did see that it was mostly men and not a whole lot of women? Who were your mentors? And we talk about having male mentors as well as female mentors. So I would love to know that. And then you also briefly touched on your history, your background experience, which I think is probably pretty important for our listeners to hear, because you were able to put yourself into some really good opportunities and experiences early on that probably really helped you with that confidence.
Yes. So I think mentor wise, again, since I did not tell my mother about this job opportunity, it wasn't until I had like my final interview that I told her that I was like, oh, by the way, like, I think I'm going to move home and I actually have this job. So, and she was so excited because I was like, oh, I can finally leave my nursing career behind and kind of just, again, move forward and have a higher acuity of care and just a different clinical practice. But honestly, your podcast, I listened to a few episodes, again, without telling her before. But also, oddly enough, the nursing staff and surgical techs are like your best friends. And as a rep, and I leaned into that wholeheartedly. Again, a lot of the nurses and techs were around my age or just a little bit older, but closer to my age than any other rep was that I was working with. And again, long time. So knowing how hard their job actually is and that the hospital or the OR center does not run if they can't do their job effectively. So I think, which I'm not saying that some reps do this, but some older male reps that I work with, I think don't take the time to actually be polite to surgical techs and nurses and people that are helping them, like in their OR, make sure their equipment's there, helping them, like if the doctor's running late, texting them, letting them know that like the case is behind and whatnot. And I think that leaning into the women that were there, they really took me on. They were so kind to me. They still are. I'm friends with a few of them now. I have a few of their numbers. And it's just so nice to walk into work. And I know that, okay, the surgeon still might be a little bit iffy about me. Again, I pretty much work with all men, but having like a familiar female face to say, oh my goodness, good morning. So happy you're here. Are you doing this case? What OR are you in? I'll help you get there. Where's your stuff? I'll help you move it because it's their room as well. So I think that was very beneficial. Again, mentorship would definitely just be your podcast, as well as just the nursing and surgical tech friends that I made along the way. Because again, there was, I think, only one other female rep that I ever like or have now up until this point encountered in the about 15 hospitals that I service. So definitely making friends along that way, they have just made it a better transition. They've made me more confident in myself because if I make a mistake, they're like, don't worry, I'm in surgery. I'm telling the surgical tech, grab this instrument, not that. And it's actually opposite. And they've been, oh, don't worry about it. This is actually what this is called. I'll help you next time. So that's been great.
I was asking you, you mentioned the mentors, but you know, also your prior experience. And you said that you spent some time in the OR already, which I think is actually really important because you already knew you'd be okay seeing blood, having the mask on. You know, the certain sense of the OR. I don't know if we've talked about it recently, Cindy, but we do talk about it, that a lot of that people assume they're going to be fine. And then they get in there and they have a mask on their face and they're smelling some, you know, pretty different smells. Yes. And some people can't handle it.
Yes. And that is definitely so. I was a CNA for a really long time. I was on actually an orthopedic floor. And then I was on a medical surgical floor for about 2 years. So that definitely exposed me to, again, patient interaction, clinical care, different bodily smells that I might not smell on a daily basis. But the OR hours that I ended up getting, so I did shadow. So I shadowed a lot of doctors. I shadowed a few dermatologists that did Mohs surgery. I shadowed an orthopedic surgeon, actually, who did my own surgery. And I shadowed, I think, one of your surgeons as well. And he was extremely helpful. So I guess advice to anyone who is not maybe like a pre-med major, but wants to go into medical device, getting shadowing hours in an OR anywhere, so helpful because you're already exposed to what you as an observer has to do. So like rule-wise, I'm not standing next to the surgeon. I'm not touching anything that's blue. I am not speaking if I'm not being spoken to. And I'm not taking away and distracting from the atmosphere that is in front of me. So I definitely think that that was so helpful. And actually, that's one of the reasons why my boss hired me. He was explaining to me, he's like, I know you're young, but he's like, you do have a ton of clinical experience that I think the guy prior to me had zero. So he was like, you already know, like you walk in an OR, you know that, okay, you're going to put your lead on because for my surgeries as well, I also have to wear lead. So I wear my lead, I put my mask on, I have my hair covered, I have my shoe covers on, and I'm standing next to the wall until it's my time to shine and my product comes out. And I'm like, okay, you need to do this and this and this. Surgeon asked me a few questions. That's it. I step back. I help the OR circulator nurse bill everything out properly, write everything down. And then I say, thank you. And I'm on my way. I'm not walking into surgery when the patient's being prepped. I am not hanging out around until they're closing and they like wheel them back out. And that is something that I learned from when I shadowed. And if I didn't shadow prior, I would have learned eventually, but it was nice to like already walk in and not have the impression or not invoke the impression on the surgeons that, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing and she's never been in an OR before.
Yeah, that definitely gave you a leg up. I mean, you just said they, one of the reasons why they hired you is because of that experience, just the shadowing and the knowledge, just an overall OR presence is really important.
100% agreed. 100%.
And I think one other thing that you do very well is ask questions, because when a lot of what you were describing, you were kind of new, young, thrown into a new environment, and it's who do you ask? Who do you lean on? And you did a really good job confidently finding those nurses, finding those doctors or those people within the hospital of who you can lean on. So I think one of the most important things to also reiterate is when you don't know something, you can ask, then you learn who to ask and the ability to figure it out. And you never gave up. You started with being thrown in and a little scared. And now you have, I hear when you come home and, oh, I get to work with this great doctor today, and you get very excited. And something about medical device that Lisa and I have discussed in previous episodes is when you work in an environment like this, you get to form relationships, great professional relationships with doctors and nurses that really form a bond because the work you're doing is very rewarding.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, maybe touch on how working for the company or the distributorship, I'm assuming in this case, was different than maybe a previous job of working at Lululemon or something that a lot of college kids get to do, which is amazing. I love that you worked at Lulu. What did that look like when you went to the distributorship? Because I'm sure it was a lot different.
Yes. And just to touch on that as well, I don't know if you guys have explained it before, but I do work for a distributorship. So it is different than directly working for a specific orthopedic company. So I technically can sell anything that's under my distributorship. So I sell 90% orthopedic stuff, but then we also have a few vascular products that we sell, bone graft stuff that we sell. So not specifically orthopedic. So that just means that I'm not tied down to one company. I can sell for a majority of companies. So that's really cool. So I do majority sell stuff that comes in a tray, but there are a few things that are sterile packed that I get to bring in and use in conjunction with other surgeries that I'm already doing. So that's cool. But yes, with that being said, way different than working at Lululemon or even working as a CNA or a coach. Those types of jobs, you are walking in, you clock in, you're there, and you clock out and you leave. And you don't get calls, you don't get texts past the time that I'm supposed to be there. And no one's asking me anything off of like work hours per se. So that definitely was a little bit of not a shock to me because I've seen my mom work in this way, but it definitely was like, oh, this isn't a like normal 9 to 5 per se. It is very flexible hours. Like some days I have one case and I'm working 2 hours out of the 12-hour day. And then other days I'm working from 5:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. at night. It just vastly depends. So that definitely was very different to me. I think another thing that is slightly different was like at Lululemon, I had amazing coworkers. They were all my age, all my friends, whatnot. I get so excited. And my job that I have now, I have one coworker directly and he's my boss. So I'm not walking in every day with the same 7 or 8 kids that I know and that I'm going to work with every day. So that's honestly been kind of fun because I've been able to make different friends or work friends in so many different hospitals. So it's like, there are like 3 surgery centers I love going into because I'm friends with a lot of the nurses and the techs there. You get to see a whole new group of people. So you're not seeing the same people every single day, which can be a pro and a con depending on who you are. But for me, I really enjoyed just the like variability of it. So yeah, and it's also has exposed me to meeting just a lot of different people that I would have never met before and like had conversations. Oh, like, how is your husband today? Or what are your kids doing? A lot of them go out to breweries, just little fun stuff like that, that I don't think I would have had like come up in conversation when I was at Lulu. However, with that being said, the one thing in common with every single job that I've had has been a lot like customer service oriented. So I think a medical device, as we know, talking to doctors, selling products, selling yourself when you are also selling your products, like customers always right in a sense, but knowing how to like mitigate situations. If like a doctor's upset that your graft isn't in time or your tray is down and it shouldn't have been down, knowing how to resolve conflict in a polite way, but also like, I'm going to fix this for you. Like it's not going to happen again, but not in a way that I'm putting blame on like the hospital or putting blame on the doctor himself or whatever. Because I've worked since I was 14 in like customer service industry, I've like been able to build that skill over time. Even though, again, this job as a distributor is very different than anything I've ever had, I think just core customer service competencies that I've learned through every job I've had can 100% translate to what I'm doing now.
Wow.
That's very well said.
First of all, you're very well spoken, Emma. I mean, I'd like to hire you. Can I hire you?
Thank you.
So everything isn't always rainbows and sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about maybe some of the struggles or some of the things you mentioned, the calls after, not the 9 to 5, right? You're getting text messages at night. You're getting it early in the morning. Let's be realistic and let them know, look, these are some of the things that you're going to have to face. And how did you face them?
Yes. So definitely, again, I have a little love-hate relationship. I love the flexibility. I love the variability in my schedule. However, since I've never encountered it before, it was a huge learning curve. So coming from someone who, like, I plan out my day the night before, I have a whole to-do list, I'm a very routine, structured person, this definitely was a shock to my system. I definitely think I'm finally getting the hang of it after a couple months. But yeah, learning how to navigate that. For example, I had a doctor's appointment I had to go to like first couple weeks I was working, and it was at 4 o'clock. It's the only time they had. And I ended up getting a case that popped up at 3:30, and I had to be there. So it's, wow, okay, I've spent months trying to get this doctor's appointment. I now have to cancel because I have to go cover a case. And it's just little things like that. I plan my day one way, but oh, who knows what's going to happen? It's always at the drop of the hat. People have emergencies. Again, like aortic spaces, orthopedic spaces, there's trauma. So trauma happens when we least expect it, per se. If I have someone who has a protruding bone that needs surgery immediately, I can't just be like, well, I was supposed to go get my nails done. Like, I can't come. So sadly, you can't do that. So it's learning to like think on your feet and be okay with, okay, just because I plan my day out this way doesn't mean it's going to happen this way. So that has definitely been not rainbows and sunshine, but I definitely think that I knew that going into the job. I just think I knew it, but I didn't experience it yet. So I wasn't quite sure how I was going to respond. So I definitely think any younger college kid, again, who's had like your class schedule planned out for you, who's an athlete like I was, who had every single hour from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. at night scheduled for us, it definitely is different, but that doesn't mean different is bad. So it's just learning how you can accommodate to whatever schedule that's being thrown your way. But I think in other ways of not rainbows and sunshine, definitely just learning how to talk to people that are different than you are. So learning how to talk to surgeons who are 50, 60 years old when I'm only 21. That's definitely been a little bit of a curve, to say the least. But I do have a really funny story. So one of the surgeons, he wasn't even mine, actually. He was like a sports medicine surgeon. I was in the hallway and my boss said something to me. This was like the second week I was working. And I know, Lisa, I know you have kids. And of course, my mom knows, but there's a lot of fun slang words that I always thrown around on the internet. And sadly, mine at the moment is slay. And I was standing in the hallway talking to my boss and he told me something. And I was like, slay, sounds good. But I wasn't thinking. And the surgeon turned around and he goes, did you just slay? And I was like, maybe. And he starts bursting out laughing. And he goes, my daughter will not stop saying that around the house. And he was like, I have a 26-year-old and an 18-year-old, and it is ingrained in their vocabulary. And I just, he goes, how old are you? And I was like, do you want the honest answer to that? And he was like, we'll just keep it a secret. I was like, okay. Then I go to walk away and he's like rounding the corner, and he was so awesome. I'm so sad. I don't sell products that he would use, but he's awesome. I run into him every now and then, but he literally rounds the corner and he yells across the whole OR hallway, have a slay of a weekend. And I was like, you as well.
You know, so totally much. The wrong way to say it, but yeah.
I was like, I love it. And that like was a running joke for like 2 weeks between my boss and I. So again, learning how, you know, sometimes there are certain surgeons, I would never say that. Sure. In front of them.
Knowing that
I can't say something like that. But again, it was kind of just an accident, but this guy took it in stride. And again, I wish I had cases with him because he was awesome. But yeah, just funny moments like that.
That's fun. He's obviously a very highly intelligent, highly respected surgeon, but he's still human, right? And he has kids and he's got girls. And a lot of our customers have kids your age or a little younger or a little older. And I think that, again, with your generation, that's a benefit. And you guys are really able, a lot of you are able to personally connect with these guys that sometimes even Cindy and I may struggle to find good relationships with them. So I love that you were able to connect with them. I love that you were able to use your customer service. I love that you did shadowing to get an idea of what you might be faced with, because a lot of times, like we talked about before, you don't have any idea. And then you go in and it's like a big shock. Medical devices is an amazing place to be, but there are give and takes. You have to be able to be flexible. you're going to have to say no to an appointment when you have a case that pops up. Cindy and I, briefly, we talk about being a mom and struggling with the time of being a working mother and having nannies and having people help out and pick up when they have to. All of which sounds like you've been learning graciously in this role.
I was going to say, definitely being as young as I am, I have no children. I have a dog. As we know, we love our dog.
Oh, we know.
We love Moose. And Moose goes to daycare on days that I can't stay home and take him and walk him. So definitely like a benefit of someone my age or even like 25 and younger who you have no kids yet. You have no responsibilities, honestly, like maybe outside yourself. So being able to drop things that I know that when I was younger, like my mom couldn't. She couldn't be in such a competitive job that she is now because she wanted to be at my field hockey games or at my lacrosse games or at banquets that my sister and I would attend. It was really learning the give and take and knowing like when in life is the right time to have this job. And I knew for me, like right now is the time to have this job because I have nothing else holding me back and tying me down that I can be the best rep that I was hired to be because I have no other commitments outside of like what I'm doing. So
that is very, very well said because, you know, in medical device for all those in college or listening, there are so many different levels. The level that Emma is in now talking about the distributor level is an excellent entry level. She's actually a 1099. So yes, you're kind of contracted on your own. So yes, in your job, there are so many different opportunities in medical device. And I love that you've been able to share with what it's like to be new here at 21. And so I just want to ask you, in your few months of being in medical device, what would you think has been the best part? And what would you think has been the most challenging?
Yes. So best part definitely could be a majority of things. I think the best part for me, someone who loves a lot of clinical exposure, I really, really enjoy the clinical aspect of this job. Selling's fun because I get to create relationships with people, but I love the OR. It's so interesting to see all the different surgeries that I've seen. So I definitely think the highlight of this job has been being literally just in the OR and being as young as I am, standing next to a surgeon and him ask me my opinion and he actually values what I have to say. That has been a feeling like no other. It's been so cool and so rewarding that, okay, I might be young. Thank goodness I look older. Someone did tell me I look 27. So I was like, yeah, that's how old I am. But it's been so nice to have an adult conversation in a sense. Like I'm not treated as young as I am. They definitely treat me that I'm an equal. I'm just like every other rep. Doesn't matter that I'm 21 and I'm not 50. They still value what I have to say. And they want to have like an intellectual conversation with me about like what's going on. So the two definitely best parts have been in the OR and just having that relationship with surgeons who have gone through 4 years of medical school, 6, 7 years of residency plus fellowship. That's been awesome. Again, for someone who's only been through a few months of training, for them to still trust in me and have confidence in what I'm telling them to do with the surgery. And I guess a little side note too, with my job, I've been so lucky. I do so much case coverage. So not only am I'm not in the office as much as I would be hopefully like next year when I'm more into like profit sharing and all of that, but I'm doing so much case coverage. And I feel like that is something in other companies. So again, being young, figuring out what company best suits you. Other companies don't do that. So other companies are just, you're cold calling doctors. You're going into meetings with doctors. You're going with whoever your sales rep is. Because again, I'm an associate. So whoever is above me, I just follow them around everywhere. I've been so lucky to be able to have autonomy in like what I'm doing. And I've been so lucky that, okay, I can sell, but I can also just go cover all of these cases and build my relationship with the doctor so they use my product even more. So that's been really cool. Definitely the biggest high point. The lowest point is probably just the learning curve. Just again, I work in orthopedics. So the trays that we sell, I literally looked at it and I was like, I don't even know where to start. Again, not being a surgical tech. So I don't know the names. We have like baby Homans in our thing, all these retractors and lobster claws. And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I'm learning again, all the different types of plates that I sell and what drill goes with which plate, what screw goes with which plate, what's the difference between a non-locking and a locking screw. I have no idea. So standing through my like training period that I was in and really just diving in, I just felt like I was in school. I'm sitting and I'm studying every night and I'm watching videos and I'm watching surgeries and I'm learning, okay, tomorrow I need to know this and this and this, and I need to know the order that it's going to happen so I can actually help my surgeon. So definitely the learning curve, because again, it's nothing like I've ever studied before. The learning curve was definitely the hardest part. But again, I was very supported in the learning curve. So surgeons gave me a lot of grace. They knew I was new. I started covering cases by myself pretty much like 3 weeks in, maybe even a little earlier. So they were aware, but they were very helpful. And again, that's when the nurses stepped in and the surgical stepped in, and they really did help me try to be the best that I could be with my job.
Well, and I think your wonderful personality really pulled that as well. You know, I think they saw that immediately that you wanted to learn. You may not have known it all, which is fine. We talk about that. It's totally okay to not know everything. And you be honest with them that you don't know everything.
Oh, yeah.
And they're happy to help you.
Oh, yeah. That was the biggest thing. I remember one of the surgeons, this was actually like a couple weeks ago. There was, again, we sell a lot of things because we're a distributorship. And there was this one thing that I've never seen before, have never sold, and I have never watched it in person, like of the surgery. Again, as reps, you always get there 30 minutes before. Patient wasn't in the room yet. So I walk in, make sure all of my supplies are there. We had stuff that was peel packed and also that was a tray. So I'm just introducing myself to the circulator nurse as well as the scrub tech. And I'm like, by the way, I am very new and I have never seen the surgery before. So I'm going to help you to the best of my ability, but I might not know everything. And the reaction from them, they were so nice. They go, thank you so much for telling me, because a lot of reps do not tell us that. And then you end up arguing in the middle of the surgery because you don't know what you're doing. And the scrub tech is like, well, that's not what's supposed to happen. So they were so taken aback and so thankful for my honesty. Once I told them that, they were so nice to me and they helped me throughout the entire surgery. And again, just putting your best foot forward and explaining, again, honesty is the best policy. So just telling them that, okay, I'm new, but I'm trying and I will look up anything you tell me to, and I will text my boss whenever I need to, but it might just be a little bit slower than what you guys are used to. So yeah.
I love that. I love that. Well, in the essence of time, I've thoroughly enjoyed. I want to hear more of your stories, but we love to leave our listeners with something. So to all of our listeners that we have that are looking to either jump into the medical device arena, whether they're a little bit older or they're just about to graduate or just graduated, what are one or two key takeaways that you would really tell them that they need to either be doing, start doing, or dive right in and get it done?
Yes. Number one, and like big bold letters, shining lights behind it, is networking. That is like the best thing I can offer anybody. Again, I would not have this job if I didn't network per se. So not reaching out to people who just graduated from my college, who literally are in this realm of a career, not applying for so many jobs on LinkedIn, even stuff that you might not necessarily be interested in. You never know. When one door closes, a multitude of doors can be open. So if you are like, okay, well, I kind of want to do like aortic, but I'm going to have to start in cardiac or start in orthopedics, like you never know what that opportunity will give you. So biggest advice, network to any way, anyone that you can. And two, don't say no. Don't say no to anything, to be honest, because you never know when an opportunity is going to be presented to you. I know like the guy who was in my position prior, he ended up, because he started in the distributorship, he also came from college. So I think he was like 22 or 23. And he was working in orthopedics, but I think he had an interest in cardiac. And he ended up just networking, meeting reps from different companies. He ended up getting a position at a much higher up and better paying job than what we're doing at a cardiac company. So I think, again, just not limiting yourself to the space that you're in, like sky's the limit. So just don't say no and talk to as many people as possible.
I love it.
Well, thank you, Grace. Your energy,
of course.
Persistence. I think you said it so much better than we could have.
Yes. So thank you so much. And
of course,
we'll have you back on again soon.
Would love to be here. You guys are great. I love listening to it every week. So
all right. Thank you. Wow, Cindy. Oh my gosh. What an amazing young woman Emma Grace is.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
I mean, she's just amazing. I'm speechless. She's such a well-spoken young lady. Anyhow, I do want to quickly just summarize some of the points that Emma Grace has mentioned. So I think one of the very first things that Emma Grace mentioned is networking. She mentioned Davidson Connect, which I think is through her school, obviously, but I'm sure it's out there for all the colleges. Another big thing is LinkedIn. Everyone is going to LinkedIn. And she said she filled out 30 applications on LinkedIn. So reach out to as many people as you can. Reach out to a friend. I mean, maybe you know somebody who knows somebody who's in a medical device company. Network, network, network.
Absolutely.
And I think the second thing that she said is always say yes. Even if it's not exactly what you're looking for in terms of selling screws versus cardiovascular, you get into the medical device space first. You get used to it. You get your feet wet, and then you can move from there. But I think you always need to say yes to any opportunity that arises for you.
And as in Emma's words, when one door closes, the other one always opens.
So our call to action is to check out our free quiz to see if medical devices is right for you. You can find the quiz on our website as well as all of our social media platforms.
You can also join our mailing list as well, and it will be sent out that way. It's just 6 easy questions to answer. And if you indeed fit the medical sales profile, book a consultation with us today. And if you are a recent graduate like Emma Grace, we are offering a limited amount of coaching sessions at a very reduced price just for you guys. So fill out that quiz and see if you fit the profile. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Secrets in Medical Device Sales hosted by the Girls of Grit. You can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest. Make it a great week, a better month, and a fantastic year.